TCBY is a frozen yogurt chain, the kind you find in suburban strip malls everywhere. There used to be one on the corner of Cleveland Avenue and Burnside Road in Gresham, Oregon, a suburb just east of Portland, one of the places where I grew up. That TCBY is no longer there, but years ago, that corner was a convenient stop on my way home from school. It also happened to be just down the road from the church I attended with my friends, the one place other than school that my immigrant parents allowed me to go to without question or qualm. Occasionally, I would stop by the church on my way home to visit one of our pastors there. His name was Bob. I brought my questions and doubts to church, and I would hash them out in Bob's office. Even after leaving the tradition in which I was raised, even if Bob and I don't see eye to eye on theological matters these days, I can still say with confidence that he is one of the first adults in my life to take my questions seriously. At some point during my senior year of high school, I met up with Bob at TCBY. Over soft serve yogurt, we talked about my college plans. Bob tried his best to sell me on Bible college. I respectfully declined. I told him I could not imagine myself speaking the words up front, preaching from the pulpit, naming what was right and what was wrong, what one should do and what one should not, what God thought of this and what God thought of that. No, thank you, I said. I cannot speak such words. I will become a therapist, a social worker. I will listen to people instead. Well, well, well. So much for that plan. Looks like I couldn't keep my mouth shut. It took me a good number of years to get here. It took a whole lot of hemming and hawing and hand-wringing. But I have spent nearly a decade speaking words from this pulpit. You charged me with that task back in 2016. You trusted me with the priesthood, even when I doubted. Today, I am grateful and humbled by your trust. Through that time, I have had to reckon with words. I've had to learn what it means to speak about God to God's people. And today, the prophet Jeremiah reminds me of what that work entails. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This scene sounds gentle, intimate even. The Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, but the translation here is actually very misleading. The original Hebrew verb for touch can also be translated as to strike or to harm even. The Lord put out his hand and struck my mouth. If we are going to be faithful to the words of Scripture, the Lord's touch might be better described as a jolt or a shock. To speak for God, to speak about God, is no small thing. It is both a privilege and a responsibility. And as Jeremiah's call so clearly demonstrates, it is not dependent on the aptitude or worthiness of the speaker. This task is also not reserved for the prophet or preacher alone. It is incumbent on all of us to speak words that bring life, words that pull down the mighty from their thrones, words that build and plant the kingdom come. As I get ready to depart, I figured I would use my time today to tell you a little about what I have learned over these past 9 years with you. Words have the power to be life-giving and death-dealing. Words can tear down just as easily as they build up. If we are to speak about God to one another, we should do so with care and intention. So I figured I would use my time today to tell you what you have taught me about what it means to speak about God with God's people. This is by no means going to be a comprehensive list, by the way. We have a party to get to, after all. So take it all with a grain of salt. First, if you are going to speak for God, resist the urge to fix people. It is our gut instinct to help, to be the kind of people who are helpful, but we can do so much damage by stepping in with a solution before we have properly identified and understood a problem in the first place. It is also tempting, oh, so tempting, to engage with people as if they are the problem. We live in a world where our most common interactions with people who disagree with us are mediated by social media algorithms. Given the veneer of encounter as we hide behind our keyboards and carefully curated online personas. The invitation of the church gathered around real bread and wine, the body and the blood, the very primal elements of sustenance and renewal, the invitation of the church is to pause long enough to discover common humanity in that person whom you first thought of as an enemy or a stranger. To do that, we have to linger around long enough to see people as something more than the problems they represent. This requires long-suffering, patient work, but it is worth the price. Resist the desire to make problems go away. Get comfortable with uncertainty. Make room inside yourself for better, life-giving questions. Second, if you are going to speak for God, remember that you do not always have to know what to say. Silence is your friend. One of the greatest honors of my life has been to be at the bedside when members of this community have died. One of the greatest honors of my life has been to be with you when you've lost a loved one, when you've received difficult, life-altering news, when the world you thought you knew was swept from under your feet. I cannot tell you how many times I have been at a loss for words. I cannot tell you what I've said in those moments because I rarely remember. There are no words that can make up for the chasm left behind by our experience of pain and grief and loss. The only thing I have been able to offer in those moments is trust. Trust that the God who is faithful will not leave us abandoned. Trust that God knows our pain and suffering better than we know ourselves. When in doubt, your presence is enough. Let God fill that silence. It is a living testament to a love that cannot be put into words. Third, and lastly, if you're keeping track, remember our work is never finished. The work of freedom is an endless meeting, an endless encounter with the one we once thought of as a stranger. The work of freedom, true freedom, is always, always, always before us. And if you get discouraged about this world, if your faith falters in the face of the world's indifference, in the face of the violence and fear-mongering in the 24-hour news cycle, in the face of the glib and calloused ways that people in power deal with the lives of the poor, the hungry, and the brokenhearted, keep in mind that the heroes of the faith never entered the fray of building the kingdom with guarantees of success. They engaged in the work of freedom, not because they thought they would be successful, but because they put their trust in the one who is faithful. We live in difficult times, my friends. But if you believe, like I do, that the liberating work has already been done for us, that Jesus conquered the grave itself, that God has guaranteed our freedom even while we remain bound up in chains, then all that there is left for you to do is to witness to it, to let your life be a kaleidoscopic reflection of that liberating love that was first extended to the likes of you. Let go of the self-securing angst. Let go of the embarrassment and the shame. Let go of your need for control and the ever-present temptation to prove yourself worthy in the eyes of people who are just as insecure, complicated, fallible, and vulnerable as you are. Speak the words of life. Protect those who cannot protect themselves. Protect even those you have been taught to hate. Remember those who have been forgotten. Listen to those who haven't been heard. Store up your treasures in that place where neither moth nor rust destroy. Seek first the kingdom and let the rest of the pieces fall where they will. In another passage from Jeremiah, the prophet describes what it is like to speak the words of God. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. St. Paul's, thank you for teaching me, for encouraging me, for helping me to speak these words. Thank you for helping me become the priest that I am. Do not quench that fire. Draw close, lean in, and keep sharing the good news. Amen.